Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show, we're breaking down Season 3, Episode 12, Curse of the Earth Totem. Yo-ho, yo-ho, a birthday boy I see. That's right, it's Dave Child's birthday! Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah! Oh, yeah! Hope everyone's feel real sexy for my birthday! Yeah! That's what I like.
I love how we've got the mood lighting and everything.
That's right, folks. Welcome to the Legends of Tomorrow After Show. I'm going to be quiet now because I'm going to let everybody sing for a little bit because they know the words. I'm sure you know it at home. So sing along for a few moments.
No one knows this part.
Yeah, I'm like, I know the chorus.
Something eyes.
Love it. Love it.
In a second.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Okay. Of course, as always, we're bringing out every episode of The Legends of Tomorrow, airing Monday nights on the CW. Uh-huh. Of course, breaking it down on Tuesday because we just need that extra time to really dissect it and break it down for
you. Just let it sink in.
That's right. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran, sitting next to the birthday boy himself, MR Dave Child, but you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
Hi, I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MR Dave Child or DaveChild.com. It's my birthday. Thanks for joining me.
Woo! Yay! Yay! Dave!
Thank you.
Wow, what a come down. I am Lex Michael. I am all over social media at the Lex Michael.
And on the Creature Lion, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet since there is only one.
And of course, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, give it a thumbs up while you're there. And Lucretia's got her computer up and running, which means our chat room is up and running, so feel free to chime in about anything about this episode in particular, anything Legends Tomorrow, or just, you know, birthday wishes for Dave Child. In fact, let's start off with a couple
just
of those.
Just make it all about me. Why do we have to talk about the episode? Let's just focus on me.
Yes, and before we get to that, what's the hashtag they should use, Lex, Michael?
Hashtag Happy Birth Dave.
Yeah, and we did get one from Matt Burton, at the Matt Burton 87. Says, Happy birthday, Dave Child. Have a glass of Dave on the rocks and listen to some Dave Talica turned up to 11. Have a good one, you misfit.
Look at that.
I like it. They know I'm not a hero. I'm just a misfit. I'm a legend.
So, you know, Dave could have spent many different places, areas, people. Uh-huh. You chose to spend your birthday here with us breaking down this great TV show.
With family.
That's right.
I wanted to be with family. Aww. And it's you guys. Aww. I did have a lot of sugar today, though. I went to a candy store, and I just went crazy.
What is your candy of choice?
I got, like, obscure candies. I got one called Flake. It's not good.
Okay.
And I got one called Bun. That was very good. The Bun one was very good.
What is it?
It looked like a bun.
Sure. But that follows.
It had like nougat and peanut butter and like chocolate on it. It was good. And then I had a strawberry rhubarb soda.
Ooh. Oh, those are good.
It was really good.
Yeah. All right.
But now I'm just like, now I'm crashing from the sugar rush. That's how you spend your birthday. Just sugar it up.
I'm curious about this one called Flake. It seems like such a terrible name.
Describe Flake
candy. Mm.
It felt like, okay, you just finished making Hershey Kisses, but you have all this fudge just still on the bottom of the pan. Just scrape it off, put it into a tube, and you got Flake. That's basically what it was.
Did you just tip it into your mouth?
It was like, it looked like little roll, not even rolled up, it just looked like scrunched up things of chocolate that was all in just one stick.
How do you eat it?
Just break it off.
Okay, like a big pretzel.
Yeah, it's basically just the remnants of milk chocolate that's at the bottom of a pan.
Huh.
That's just all one combined thing. I don't recommend it, is what I'm trying to say.
Got it. All right.
Yeah, they're doing the hashtag sugar high in the chat here. Good. Thank you, Renji90998. And that just reminds me of Empire Records.
Yeah, that was good.
So for this episode, we have three storylines going on. So we'll save two of them for a little bit. But let's dive into the first one, which is, of course, we saw teased at the end of last week, Wally West being approached by Rip Hunter to join the to join him and ostensibly at some point the Legends.
Yeah.
So how do we like seeing Wally West kind of brought into this universe?
It was good to see him, but I felt like he was bringing a lot of angst that we hadn't seen before. Like, he's just, they don't accept me in the Team Flash. I'm like, they've tried, dude. Like, you're just the second speedster, I guess. But
I never noticed anybody on Flash going like, just sit down, Wally, we're good.
Yeah.
I never felt like anybody did that to him.
But at the same time, I did feel like as soon as Barry got back, they didn't really know what to do with him.
Right. He was always underutilized, and it made a lot of sense, especially the way he exited Flash for a little bit, like where he's like, I'm going to go find myself.
Yeah.
Also, I like that he devoted himself to meditation. That was very nice.
Pro-man bun or no man?
No man.
No man, man bun.
No man should ever have a bun. It just does not work. And if you're going to have a bun, just go with a couple of buns. That would be fine.
But or the candy.
Or the candy.
Yeah, or the candy bun.
Yeah.
The bun I had, I enjoyed. I feel like you should have that, if anything.
But you were saying, Lex.
What? Oh, I was just saying, like, I commend his open-mindedness in attempting the bun, though I wouldn't encourage it particularly. But the way he left, going to find himself, and after not being utilized heavily on that show, also his girlfriend broke up with him, and that's, like, the worst thing that could happen on any one of these shows. It makes sense. He's in a perfect position to want a new adventure. And even for now, that adventure only being him and Rip, like, hanging out, getting drunk, I'm for it.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love that Rip is the one to go search for him and kind of be like, you know, they're broing out when they're both respected, like, feeling on the outs, not worrying, knowing where they belong. So that was kind of a good introduction because they both sort of are like, they have these skills, but they weren't really utilizing them where they were.
Yeah, it was interesting to see Rip. One, drink jet fuel, which Rip should not be drinking jet fuel. Speedsters can do it. Rip, I'm worried about him. also, he basically got Wally drunk enough so he would steal for him.
Yep.
Steal for him.
That occurred to me at a certain point, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it did occur, and I don't know if anybody else had popped up too, but when he first approaches him and Wally's like, no, I'm going to just hang here, and he pulls out the flask, I started having shades of Martin and Jack.
Yes.
At that moment.
My brain went to the exact same place. Oh. Like, is another dude about to roofie a boy to take him on time adventures?
You do not want to be a young black man on the Legends.
Get roofied. Did not happen, though.
Luckily.
That did not happen. And they spent a lot of time, like, kind of retconning that as much as possible in the previous Legends. But yeah, that was a little... At least he didn't, like, put something in someone's drink or anything.
Yeah.
But it seemed like they have a nice, nice, easygoing bond right now between the two of them, which is nice. Everybody else is still kind of... Well, they've been with Rip for a while. They've got opinions on him.
And they sang Careless Whisper, which was... It's a great song to sing at karaoke.
It was adorable.
No, I'm going to sing it at karaoke.
I mean, specifically 1992 Tokyo, too, where they went back, like, we got to pick the perfect era and the perfect location that this song will definitely be in heavy rotation at karaoke bars.
Yes, specifically Tokyo 1992.
Yes. Everybody enjoyed that.
I did. Now I wonder, so is Rip coming back to the team as well? It's going to be Rip and Wally?
I felt like that was what the theft of the brown coat was meant to indicate.
Yeah.
That, like, bureaucracy Rip is no more.
He's no more.
And Legends upturned collar brown coat Rip has returned.
Yay!
I'm curious if it's whether joining the Legends or it's just going to be the Legends. We've got Damian Dark and Malice and all his crew, and then Rip and Wally. Kind of, they're all three of them are kind of three separate teams, kind of vying for the same thing.
I would watch that show. I would watch the Rip and Wally show for six episodes. I don't know if I need the 13 episode seasons or 24 episode seasons, but at least for six, like a mini season, I would watch just that.
Yeah. I feel like they're coming back, though, because they said at the end, you know, I know a place where they accept misfits and not heroes, but Legends.
Yeah, I loved that. And I was like, I know we're all going to laugh about this tomorrow. That's why it was so special.
But also, why didn't Wally say, but Rip, don't they not like you? How are you guaranteeing me a spot in a team where people don't
they
like
don't
him.
Know. They, yeah. How he does he know the what's going on with Rip? I also like how he's like, my friend Nate. I was just like, you met him once. Granted, you guys fought Nazis together, but...
Maybe there was some buildup.
I thought the implication was that they had been doing that a little bit for a while.
Like the summer hiatus. It was just like Nate and Wally kind of fighting crime, doing their thing.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's right. Because it was during the time period where Nate had nothing to do.
Yeah, and Wally and Barry was in the Speed Force.
Right. So they were kind of together. Okay. All right. All right. I forgot about that. I just thought it was the one crossover event. That it was just like, hey, yeah, all right, Nazis. Now we're best friends.
But also then consider, right, Wally barely has a frame of reference for who Rip is. So what that means is that in all the time he was hanging out with Nate, and Nate was presumably telling him stories about his adventures with the Legends, he did not so much as mention Rip Hunter.
Which I don't think he would, because Nate doesn't. Nate started hanging out with him kind of right after Rip's.
Well, right.
Yeah, Rip left, and like Oliver's the one that brought Nate in, and not Rip. He's actually one of the only ones that had nothing really to do with Rip.
But they still had to fight an evil version of their former teammate. I feel like that might warrant a mention, because that's a lot of just dramas, character drama in that story.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Nate, that kind of brings us over to one of the other storylines where, well, the idea is like, hey, Sarah and Ava, they're going to have a little date, and while they're off on that date, we find the Legends, find out about the Earth Totem, they know where it's located, and they're going to go back and find it without Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really like, I actually think they've really figured out how to have romantic storylines this season. I like all their romantic storylines that they've been basically pursuing.
I do too. I like Sarah and Ava a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, they're
very cute.
They have the best couple name, Ava Lance. I like that. Mm. It's like, ooh. Yeah. That's a really good one.
And it was nicely done. I mean, it required nothing about being gender or their sexuality. It was just two people out on a date.
And I like how nervous they are with one another. But they're also very professional in their fields. And that's like they're balancing that. And they don't quite know how to save time to have a relationship. So they're worried about what it's like to be in a relationship. But because they're both in that same mindset, it works out.
Yeah, and that's what I like. And they come to a conclusion at the end that they both are these very independent women and, you know, really don't want to take away from each other. And I like that the Legends were very supportive of Sarah and trying not to, like, they're like, well, Ray's like, let's do this on our own so we don't hurt her date. Like, very sweet.
Sarah does mess up, though, for the record. Yeah. I think Sarah should have left a note.
Something, yeah.
Because Ava was, yes, she was coming back to say, yeah, I have to deal with this, I have to leave. But she was coming back to at least tell Sarah that. So Sarah did mess up. So I was kind of happy when Ava showed up and was like, what, you stood me up. Rude. What happened?
Yeah.
They couldn't write something in. I just gave him a cocktail napkin. Like, had to go.
Or just Legend screwed up, like usual.
Maybe her plan was to go deal with the problem and then go back in time to the moment she left.
No one ever does that on the show.
No, but this could have been the first time.
No one ever does that. I think it might have kind of happened at the end of this episode, which we'll get to in a little bit. But no one ever takes advantage of that time travel thing.
Which you think would be the immediately obvious solution to at least half of the problems.
Even in this episode, they're like, oh, we know where the fire totem is. We know where it is, and oops, Dark took it. Guess we're too late. No, you're not! No. Go to
you have a time ship.
You have a time ship. You know where it is. Go to right where, unless they went there and was like, now we don't know where it is because this is the earliest time we could possibly find it. That would be how you excuse that. But other than that, it's okay if you change that time. I mean, is it because they got a note that it's now stuck in time?
There is a lot of very questionable planning in this episode.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm only wondering if they do that because it would go down a rabbit hole of, well, no, I'm going to get here 5 minutes before that then. Oh, I'm going to get 5 minutes before the Legend. And then it just becomes a series of who's going to get there constantly jumping forward in time. So do they just say, like, we're just going to not even acknowledge that is a possibility, so that way we don't have to go down that rabbit hole.
But doesn't that rabbit hole sound like a fun episode?
It sounds like a really fun episode, or at least like a mini arc. But it does, if you follow it all the way through, it does somewhat break the premise of the show.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, I always get the sense, you get this sense in Doctor Who as well, where once you meet the people, and once that time period is established, once it's like kind of set, you can't undo it else something bad will happen. A paradox will happen. You'll break time again. So you just have to be careful about if they show up to that time period and find out that the Fire Emblem is gone, that would be better to me than just hearing that he took it.
Yeah.
Because once they show up to that time period, then it's kind of set in their timeline. They can't really do anything about it. If they go back in time, they could create a paradox because why would they ever show up to that time?
Right.
You know?
Yes.
But hearing from Gideon about what happens in the future and that they're too late in the future, that just doesn't sound right to me. It sounds like all they need to do was show up and be like, we're too late. Unless that's what that note was. Maybe they did do that.
But even when it came to them all deciding, hey, let's let Sarah have her nice night out and yeah. we'll go and do it right now. It's like, you could, I thought that's exactly what I thought of you. It's like, just wait until the morning when Sarah's back and then just go. Because it doesn't matter when you leave now. Because you're going to, whether you leave now or you leave in the morning, you're still going back to the same point in time.
Yes.
So what's why not just go with your
There's
full contingent?
There's no rush, yeah.
Oof. But then again, that's with the stakes.
Yeah, it just makes it so it's they don't think like that. There is no like, they could have waited until after the date and then could have gone. They could yeah. have gone and then she could have gone on the date. They're both time people.
Yes. Yeah, when you're time travelers, you literally only have time.
Not for nothing, they could have also gone together.
That's true.
Yeah
but no, because that wouldn't have been a date.
No, I don't mean as their date. I mean as either like a closer for the evening or as a prelude to the date itself.
Well, and didn't you guys think it was that odd would've, that they went
I
to,
wouldn't recommend it.
To Star City like 2018? Yes.
I wouldn't recommend yeah. it.
Sorry.
I
think
it would be a weird date.
I've been down that road one too many times.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go on a date with someone, it's best to establish it as a date, and it gets complicated if it begins or ends with a friend's hangout.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's actually a very good point. Okay, so then you could still postpone the date to another day and have her come and help with this time mission.
Yeah.
Because she is, of course, a valuable asset on time missions.
Or done the time mission after the date. Because it's like, a time mission.
You want to go back to my time ship and go on a time mission? That would have worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been a good ending to that date.
Except she's like, I don't know, I got a time door I can just walk through. So your time ship's nothing to my time door.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Don't those things essentially render time ships irrelevant, obsolete?
Yeah. Except the time ship has like guns.
And a kitchen.
Yeah,
it could fight giant robots when it needs to.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you're taking the office with you, so to speak. It's kind of
right.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's like the Winnebago.
That's true.
It's the time Winnebago.
And then I'm like, time Winnebago. Sure. If it had gone the way they planned, But yeah, a lot of people in the chat keep pointing out, isn't it odd that they picked Star City 2018 for the date, and we had no mention of Black Siren or Captain Lance or
wow.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, maybe she would mention Black Siren.
Yeah,
you
or
know,
her
there's
dad.
There's an evil version of my sister running around right now.
Yeah, because to our knowledge, Sarah's not aware of this, even though it's been around for some time.
Yeah,
it is weird.
Wait, and sidebar for Arrow, because Vigilante got taken out by Black Siren. That seems disappointing to me.
I know, he was really adorable.
I agree, but what makes up for it for me is the means by which he's dispatched, spoilers for Arrow, I guess, when she Black Sirens him right in the ear and overloads his head. That was dope.
But yeah, but didn't he feel, it's a Vigilante, man. There's more you could do with him, right?
Well yes.
I'm sorry, we're not talking about heroes.
No.
We're talking about Misfits.
That's right, that's a Misfit right there. But they go back, and we see at the beginning of the episode kind of a little standalone cold open where we see Blackbeard. We don't know it's Blackbeard at the moment, but he's there burying the loot, because that's what you got to do when you're a pirate. You got to bury that loot.
Yeah.
And one thing that he has with him is an emerald, which you do find out happens to be the Earth Totem. Gives it to his gal pal.
Yeah,
and,
like eats the pirate lady. Yeah.
Does not go well.
Yeah. I do have to say, I loved Blackbeard. I thought he was a fun actor.
Yeah, Jonathan Cake, who most people probably know from Chuck or Desperate Housewives, which you've seen most of these actors have been a part of, which is fun. Yeah.
But I don't know if I like the turn where it's like, yeah, you know what, really, guys, you didn't know this, but Blackbeard, he was a real coward. I don't know if I like that turn of the character.
Boo-hoo.
Frank.
Here gets the beef jerky.
That's right.
Little, the little sea beef we got going.
I thought that really reduced the stakes.
Why?
He's just a coward.
Why? Because we still have Dark. We still have other stuff. He's not the main villain. It made it so we've seen Blackbeard in like Pirates of the Caribbean. We know who Blackbeard is. Mm-hmm. We usually see him as this terrible. He's the most famous pirate of all time, and he's supposed to be terrible and mean. So how can you put that on its head? You make it so he's a little bit of a coward and a dandy.
And this is also something that runs through the episode, this idea that pirates are just grilling Frank now, that pirates that pirates love tall tales. They love good stories.
They like the story rather than the reality.
So it tracks that Blackbeard could very well be all tall tales. And
all
no,
hype.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the pirate bar you can apparently walk into and start telling a story and everyone in the bar will start to yes and you.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
That's what I liked.
I like that. I like I would like to see how far that can go if, as you do it.
And I like that it was Amaya that they decided to pimp out, because it's like, out of all the ones that were there, you know, it goes Sarah, who was on a date, and then you're like, okay, Amaya's the next strongest.
I love how they do these very, you know, this is an important world-saving, time-saving mission. Let's have fun with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's just have fun with it, you know?
That's like, what I like about Nate, is he and Ray tend to want to have fun with this.
Yeah.
Like, and they're fun, yeah.
They're like, you know, well, it was even Rory, whose idea kind of was like, she needs to blow off steam, so let's make her the pirate queen. I like that.
It was nice because I think it touched on a little bit of what we talked about last week with Amaya, that she's kind of like she's predestined to go back to 1942 to get married, to have her daughter and then grandchildren, which it turned out to be.
And also to see her village get destroyed and basically her murdered.
Yeah,
so she doesn't have a nice future ahead of her.
And having to leave a relationship with Nate, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's already, you feel like, well, that's not really going to go on much further. So to have her kind of acknowledge that as well, that she's kind of stuck, not knowing what to do, because anything she does just is kind of wrong.
Yeah.
So it's consolation. She gets to be Pirate Queen.
There you go. Sometimes that helps.
And then the rum bottle at the end, and sometimes they screw up time for the best. Yeah.
She looked good as a pirate queen.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. This is a weird thing I noticed, and I don't know if I've ever really noticed this. Her hair in the beginning of the episode.
I think it was a wig.
Yeah, of course it was a wig.
I think it was a wig.
It was a bad wig is the point. It was like, it's a strange wig for them to put on her. It just did not look right.
It's possible the implication was she had recently come from a time mission where wigs were required as part of her incognito ensemble.
What? No. This was off. And what also threw me is she even said to Zari, she said to Zari like, hey, I love what you're doing with your hair.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, thanks, I hate it. I was like, no, it looks really good. And meanwhile, I'm thinking, your hair looks awful. Girl, your hair looks terrible. But then as soon as she became a pirate queen, then it looked great.
Yes.
So as soon as they changed it to a good-looking wig, she was fine. It just did not look good. It was weird. I hate to be snap, mm-hmm. but it threw me.
Well, I feel like of all the legends, because, I mean, Zari had a very focused episode on her last week, but I feel like Amaya, since in her old time, she's never really had something that's kind of put her in the forefront of one of the plots for an episode. So it was kind of nice to see her get the Pyro Queen kind of role in this.
Yeah.
Yes, and also Mick in that environment makes so much sense. And he seemed to be enjoying himself a good deal.
Yeah, but how do you feel like if you just had somebody that was always with you on these missions and they were always just reading your cell phones, they didn't read out your texts, they knew what was going on with you in your life?
Wouldn't love it.
No, you wouldn't love it, but it's also Rory's, that's him. It's just the kind of, you don't know what he's doing. And the point with him is he always holds back. And every now and then, this little information pops up, like he's working on a fanfic. He's reading other people's stuff. He also, I wasn't here last week to talk about this. He created ways to kill people.
Yeah.
If they read his fanfic.
Yeah.
Kill people, maim, destroy them. The only people who are going to do that are his teammates. So he's a bit of a wild card, is what I'm saying.
He's definitely the wild card of this group.
And you think after last season where he felt like he was kind of on the outs and then they kind of had that all, we're all one big group of family, so to speak, to still then after that, still set up those death traps for them. Like, not so much.
What is he, who's he worried about? Like, reading those except for his teammates. It's, anyways.
Or just real quick, which one legend do you think he was most worried about finding his fanfic?
I think Nate. Oh,
Ray, maybe.
I feel like Ray would not make fun of him. He'd be too intimidated. Yeah. I feel like Nate would give him a hard time.
Ray would be too supportive, is what he'd be worried about.
That's exactly it. I think Nate would find it and immediately publish it.
Yeah.
And would be like, hey, good news. I found a publication for you. It's already set. Your name's out there. Now everyone knows that you do this. And I support you. And he's like, no. That's it.
Yep.
That's so we ended up going back to the Bahamas in 1717, of course, in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. So the Wave Rider.
I'm sorry. I just saw. I missed who it was. Laura Luna Malfoy 7 says, no one wants their friends to read their fanfic. I just love that statement. I mean, it's very true.
So the Wave Rider and Gideon are kind of taken out of play for this. So basically it just ends up being that Nate, Zari, and Ray end up having to go back to the present after cannonballs are fired at them.
Yeah.
And leaving Mick and Amaya back in pirate time.
Mm-hmm.
Do we like the introduction of Damien Dark?
Well, you kind of know he's showing up.
Yeah.
I'm still stuck on, like, the cannonballs can take out the Wave Rider. It seems like that far into the future we said, or is it far enough into the future that nobody thinks about cannonballs anymore?
I think it's they didn't think about putting their shields up and they just cloaked because they didn't think it was going to be an issue.
And that tracks for me that they made the mistake.
I think it was their mistake. I think they can put their shields up, but they have to do it. They have to be prepared for it, and I don't think they were prepared for anyone attacking the ship.
But I guess maybe that they're still making ships out of material that can be obliterated by cannonballs.
Yeah, but cannonballs are pretty hardcore. They are like giant bullets, dude. I feel like if you hit anything hard enough and in the right spot, it's going to hurt anything. I think the idea that bullets are going to become, like, unnecessary is probably not true. I bet there's always going to be bullets.
There'll be bullets in some form, but I feel like that far... Once we're time-traveling, like, as a culture, you'd think, like, vibranium, something a little bit tougher
than
whatever...
That's the other universe, buddy.
That's
what you're saying, though. Yeah, that you feel like it would projectiles, it would kind of bounce off.
This isn't a real, like, fundamental issue that I have with this episode.
I think
also,
it is.
The queen of,
beef.
Of Regal says those cannibals were modified futuristic. While we don't know if that's true, but Dark was the one firing them.
You know what? I'll accept magic.
They're magic
cannibals.
Magic balls.
They're magic balls. They got hit with some magic balls in the face. They don't know what to do when those magic balls swing their way. Sorry. I'm still on a sugar rush.
Well, we do notice that when Dark does show up, he takes Amaya's totem.
Yes.
You know what threw me about Dark, though? It's because I feel like, okay, how is he gaining his position when he shows up to these things? I assume he just shows up in the outfit. And with his, you know, he's super powerful, and everyone's like, okay, we're going to believe you. It's pretty easy to do that. He made sure they found the time to paint his portrait.
Yep.
Because they said, look at the portrait of the admiral of this fleet, and it's Dark. And he's just like, all right, before we do anything, before we take on this mission, just paint my portrait.
Because that's days. That's days. Like a week. To get that all done. So he's like,
no one's that fast.
Yeah, we're not doing anything else right now. We're only focused on my portrait before we do anything else, guys.
This is why I love Damien Dark, is because he takes the time to really go to these places and cement himself and, you know, get portraits of himself. Like, so he is really in all these time periods. Like, you know, the legends should really think more about that.
It's true, though. Like, he always seems entrenched. Even if it's not necessarily in a position of power, he's definitely got a position in whatever world they've
been there for months.
Right, but it is so in keeping with his character that he doesn't need to do that. He just has a good time doing it.
To be fair, I mean, if you were a time traveler and you had the ability to time travel, like, that's what you would end up doing. You would go to a place, be quiet, entrench yourself until the exact time when you could pull something off. Like, That Stephen King book, the 1122-63. Exactly. You know, that's all about him getting entrenching himself in the time period so he can save JFK at that exact time. And I feel like that makes more sense. He has more time travel logic than any of the legends do, because the legends are all just like, but we have a dinner tonight. Let's split up. Oh, I don't know how to figure it out. Meanwhile, Dark's entrenching himself for years just so he can be at the one spot in order to steal the amulet from both of them.
And not only that, but so perfectly timed that he can enter on a line.
Yes. He's like, all right, this is my, I've been waiting years for this. Here we go.
But I would like to see an episode just from his point of view, just to, for all his prep work. Does he get excited about finding a time period? Do we see him like putting on the costume, getting his looks?
You know, he savors the costume fittings.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and too, like, Black Magic 99, like the name there, Mrs. Dark and Malcolm interacting. It's like, yeah, because I feel like this would be better if it was the Magic Boys, like, doing
the
their thing. Because you saw, even when they were together, you would have these moments where it would be them doing that, screwing around in when they're in the Hollywood and the Star Wars one. And there was a whole bit of them just chilling out, you know.
It just makes me picture like a Boys to Men boy group called the Magic Boys, and it's just Dark and Malcolm just looking
away, like, you know, they just don't care.
Yeah.
So getting the totem away from Amaya, though, actually kind of frees up Amaya, as she says at the end of the episode. Now that she's kind of taken some of that burden off of her, she feels like, oh wait, I have at least a little bit of movement, some choices that I can make. And of course she just wants to make out with Nate.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
Captain.
Yeah, I mean, I like their relationship. I think that they're actually doing a good job of keeping chemistry. The chemistry makes sense.
Yes.
It's not forced like we've seen in the past with Ray and everyone. But
Poor Ray.
But at least Nate and Amaya, they seem to work. And every single time they... And their conflict makes sense, as well as every time they relieve that steam. Steamy love.
Yeah. Well, and they keep finding new ways to keep it interesting, whether it's there was their powers recently, or dressing like pirates.
Role playing.
Yeah. Pirates, very nice. Swords.
Nice, healthy relationship there.
The time loop one was good, too, where they just wanted to keep erasing the memories. It was good.
So it ends up that everybody ends back up on the island in the Bahamas, where the Earth Totem is buried. Blackbeard ended up killing his girlfriend as she was kind of wigging out with that Earth Totem. But as they dig her up, she springs back to life, starts tearing up everybody, even taking down Damien, which we're supposed to know the totems are a weakness of his. But it's nice seeing kind of Damien put down his place, because he just feels like he's just, once he shows up, he always just does the hand, and then everything else just kind of shuts down for a while.
Yes. Also, I was surprised to find out Earth meant plants and the green. I kind of expect, we were all hoping a little bit for Swamp Thing.
I was too. I was like, yay, Swamp Thing! And then it's like, no.
Or I thought maybe like, oh, they're going to do like a kind of a sneaking Poison Ivy.
It was, that was very Poison Ivy like. Like, very much like the video game Poison Ivy in some ways. I was like, this is.
It's like, are they going to make like a piratey Poison Ivy something? But it's just, they're focusing on the amulet being cursed and kind of taking over people. But then they also say that an amulet, it enhances what's already inside of you. So for all the heroes, it enhances the hero side.
It's like drugs.
But if you're a terrible person, it enhances the terrible person's. I don't know if it's like drugs, because...
Well, actually, that's what my English teacher always said about marijuana. He's like, I believe it just enhances who you are. So if you are lazy and you're not going to do anything, but
Well, there's that old he who must not be named joke about cocaine. Where he used to say that cocaine enhances who you are, but this is the only time.
I was like,
the only time
he
swore, but he's like, but what if you're an a-hole?
Yeah,
then it enhances who you are, and it enhances the a-holes. So,
yeah, my friends used to say that cocaine made you feel like you were winning, but yeah, that's also same sort of thing.
I don't know like any marijuana users that have been like just like super like go to, get up and go kind of people once they started smoking or something or imbibing. Yeah, let's go do a bunch of stuff. Isn't it more of like just a relaxing kind of chill out type of thing?
It depends on the strain. I mean, some of us function pretty well. I mean, I would just say, I mean, Seth Rogen, Kevin Smith, I mean, guys, you know?
Yeah.
They do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
What we're saying is, do drugs. No, yep. Don't do drugs.
I'm saying, drugs are okay. As long as you're not already lazy.
Yes.
Don't do drugs.
No. So one thing that we finally get to see put in action is this gun that Ray's been building for a while that's supposed to be working against Damian Dark.
Yeah.
So he puts it to use and, of course, hits Damian Dark's daughter. She gets affected and Ray goes back to the present and is guilt-ridden. But even though he saved him his life... It came at the expense of hers.
I like this because I like giving, especially Ray, who's like the Superman of the group, literally. Mm-hmm. It feels like he's the one that would be most conflicted with having to take someone's life. And he created something that's purpose is to take someone's life. And I like that he's having that issue.
That's what I liked about this episode is we had a lot of great character moments from most of the characters, yeah. Especially this little thing with Ray, which we don't normally get to see this sort of side of him, but this does fit his character in being guilt-ridden and, you know, actually caring about people. Because as he said, he knew he was trying to help Nora, and it probably helps that that's his wife playing Nora.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I can see his wife. Courtney.
There's something about Nora that's really...
Yeah.
And I guess part of it is because he met Nora as a child and has the connection with her. Whether, say, he didn't shoot her, but he shot Damian, would he have those same feelings? I don't know if that's the case.
I don't think it would be as bad. But knowing Ray, there would be at least some sort of guilt there if he were to be the one to kill Damian Dark. But I do feel like it was a little bit extra hard because of that child, you know, that he met, the child Nora.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think with Dark, it would have been much easier, too. But we even saw, like, you know, Oliver deal with killing Dark, and that kind of bothered him, never mind Ray.
Cleanest said it best in Unforgiven. It's a terrible thing to kill a man.
I want you to do more of the show in your Clint Eastwood.
It's terrible. Nope. Come on. Get off my lawn.
Whoa, it's like he's in the room.
Yeah, that's right, guys.
Am I an empty chair? Because you're talking to me right now.
Slow clap about buddy.
I agree. I really like seeing Ray have to deal with something this removed from who he is. But it almost felt to me at the end like we were already starting to walk that back a little bit. And I would have liked to see him deal with it longer. Because now he's back in a hostage situation and I feel like we're not going to have
him. Yeah, that's a bit dumb.
Yeah.
And I was even for Ray, I was very frustrated with his plan at the end.
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting, though, that he spent weeks and weeks developing this gun. And then with a matter of moments, seems to develop that cure, lickety-split. Like, oh, all right, I got that cure now, so we go back.
I think he always had that cure probably already in his back pocket. I think he was always, like, working on that on the side, and he was so guilt-ridden, he's like, okay, I'm going to use the cure. I don't think he just made that up.
Yeah.
I feel like he's working on the gun and working on the cure and having little fingers in each of the pies.
Yeah.
This is how exactly I imagine Ray doing
exactly.
it.
And I loved his conversation with Mick, too. He's like, because you changed. I feel that she can change. Like, and it was a very heartwarming moment. Yeah, and you do see Ray, but I'm not sure about... I did love that Damian Dark even was like, yeah, fine, take it. He loves his daughter. That was a good Damian Dark moment, too.
Because I don't want him to be a monster completely. No. There's got to be something that he does care about.
I just want him to realize he's got shrinky-dink powers he can use at any point.
Yeah.
And he never realizes that. He could have, like, shrunk down to the size of an ant and left. He could have shrunk up to the size of an elephant and left. Yep. He could have shrunk up, by the way. But he could have, like, even instead of developing a magic blaster, he could shrink her. He could use his shrinky dinks as a weapon, like we saw in Flash.
Well, without the magic gun, though, if he shrinky dinks her, she could just untrinky dink, presumably, right? Using magic?
I don't know. Does she have that ability, or would be a tiny little magic fly?
Probably for a while, she would be a tiny little magic fly, which, from a certain point of view, is worse than if she's regular size and you can see her coming.
True.
Yeah.
Right?
That might be true.
Because to go back, so Ray does get that all together, and he goes back to 1717, by himself in the jump ship, still in pirate clothes. Why he doesn't put on the Adam costume, I don't know. But he goes back, and then a terrible barter system there with Damian. Give me the totem in exchange for this cure, but I'm going to get close enough to put it in Nora, and then I'm going to hang out and just see what happens, and then let her put me away.
A couple of things, right? Like, A, going back alone. Again, even for Nate, terrible idea because it's Damian Dark, and there's almost no way he doesn't turn on you after you make this deal. Secondly, smaller, aren't they still leaving Damian Dark with one totem if Ray's plan goes perfectly?
Amaya's got the totem.
Okay.
The Earth Totem.
Okay.
So, as of right now, they just have Maya's Totem. That's all they've got right now.
Yeah, he still has the Water Totem and the Fire Totem.
Right. So at what point in your negotiation, if you realize he's willing to give up literally anything for his daughter, at what point do you not just try to negotiate for the other totem?
Well, for one, Ray's going to give that cure no matter what. He's pretty much made that clear. He shows his cards to us before he goes there. He's hoping, like, okay, I actually think it was smart to at least pretend to make it be an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he's like, oh, maybe I can get the totem for this instead of just giving the cure. Because he's going to cure her no matter what.
Yeah, why he didn't just, thanks for the totem, here's the gun, way over here, I'm leaving now.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Yeah, that would have made way more sense. It's like, here you go, buddy.
I don't know when Ray will learn these lessons because it seems like he's constantly just the nerd coming out of the lab.
Yeah, the Queen of Wriggle puts it in perfect sentence here. Ray is a dumb genius. It is true.
He's a very dumb genius.
He's a little savant there.
Also, not the first time he's been taken hostage by Damian Dark.
No.
The last time he was tiny and kept under a jar.
I loved that.
Very true.
It's fun.
Yeah. So, of course, we know where next episode's going. We're going to have Ray confined, possibly tortured by Damian Dark, while the rest of the Legends have to go free him.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's why you have to have Ray make the dumb moves that he does to kind of set up that next episode. But it still is a little frustrating. I feel like there could have maybe been a smarter way to still get to that point.
Oh, I love how I said that as soon as Alicia Perez, a.k.a. Billie Jean Girl 25, said, Ray is always the damsel in distress. He always gets kidnapped. And yeah, that is, Ray is the damsel in distress.
I do wonder if they're actually going, because he's actually married to her. What's Dark's daughter again?
Nora.
I feel like maybe they might try to build up something between Nora and Ray.
I see that.
Mm-hmm. Like, if they're confined and he's already said, you know, she could be redeemed.
And she could be like, you showed me mercy.
You showed me mercy.
I'll show you love.
My father's a monster.
Remember when I was a little kid?
Could happen.
That happens in time traveling stories. It gets weird.
Yep.
So do we have any other predictions for what we might see in next week's episode?
Did anybody see the next week on?
I didn't see the next week on. Did anyone see? We didn't.
I just saw Ray being tied up in it seemed like in a suburban house.
Yeah, that was pretty well. It was like just showing a lot of Ray being tortured, not much
suburban
else.
Suburban house.
Yeah.
Might more evil casserole be in store?
Oh, I can
only
hope.
Fingers crossed.
I hope we get some Desperate Housewives Easter eggs, since this show loves to use people who are on there, like Damian Dark himself. Yeah.
Well, we know Rip and Wally are out there. How many episodes from now do you think they'll be fully back ensconced with the Legends?
I think they're going to be a part of next week's episode, for sure.
And on board and officially part of the team, or just still on their own side thing?
You know what always happens when people join the team? There's like one episode where they're like, well, I don't know if you can join this team. And then they go and do something together as a team, and they're like, you know what? You can join the team. Welcome to the team. I think it's going to happen.
I feel like it might be a little easier with Nate kind of paving the way since they do work together. So I'm sure he's... You have somebody on the team that's already vouching for this person. Even though Rip's the one that's bringing him in, I feel like Nate would go like, no, Wally's cool, guys. I spent a summer with him. It was a magical summer.
There's going to be
more. Tell me more.
I bet there's going to be a strange bromance triangle that's going to happen between Nate, Wally, and Ray.
Ray's going to get jealous of their bro time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because even that, like, Wally's gonna come in there, but even in the last episode, I was surprised when Nate was like, now we gotta talk to my best friend. And I was like, wow.
He's like using the B word now.
He's using
the
BF.
Mm-hmm. It's getting serious.
Wow.
As we're getting ready to wrap up, do we have any other birthday wishes for Mr. Dave Child?
None.
Nobody else cares about his birthday.
Yeah.
We also want to give a shout out to Tanya. She was kind enough to send a card.
Yeah, yes. That was very nice. Also, people have sent me some birthday wishes over the tweets and such, and I really appreciate it. And thank you. It made today so lovely.
And now he sleeps.
So nice.
Sugar Rush collapses. Yeah. Hey, no, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
That's going to do it for this episode of Legends of Tomorrow. We'll be back next Tuesday night to break down another hot installment of this series. But, of course, the fun doesn't stop here. You can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. And if you want to continue the conversation with us after the show's over or wish Dave a happy birthday, you still have several hours. Pacific Coast time.
Still got time, guys. Right. Still got time.
Lucretia, where can they find you?
You guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And I have a podcast called Mrs. Brightside, and it does feature birthday boy Dave. That episode will be out next Tuesday, and you will find other episodes all new on Tuesdays, guys. One of these days, I'm going to get Lex and Frank in there. Be sure to tweet at Happy Go Jackie what you think Frank could bring the bright side of.
Because I'm struggling. Yeah. I am struggling, guys.
My turn. I am Lex Michael. I'm all over social media at the Lex Michael. I also do a podcast with Tari J. Miller called Missing Out, where we talk about art, media, culture, experiences, flying Pokemon that vape. It's a blast. You find us wherever you find podcasts: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, on Twitter at Missing Outcast. Come check it out. We love you. Kisses. Mwah.
Is it the smog guy, the little ball guy that is constantly getting out the gas? Is that the flying Pokemon that vapes?
No, he is vape.
He is vape. All right, you can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com. Right now I don't have a podcast of my very own, but you'll see more. And you can see me all over the place. I love you. Thank you for the birthday wishes,
friend. On my tombstone, I would just like, he is vape, written down the great sentiment there. For Dave Child, for your birthday, I did get you a podcast of your very own. So
thank
I'm
going
to give that to you afterwards. But folks, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. Someday I may be on either Lex's or Lucretia's. I have no idea what to talk about on either of those. I'm struggling, guys. But folks, we'll be back here next Tuesday night with another episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Swamp Bob!
Herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.